Here I am to
worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be disdained for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As we enter into a time of Advent and a time of anticipation of the Christ that will come, the Christ that will return, in a time of Christmas, Doug and I will begin a series called The Hope of Christmas. And it is our desire and our anticipation that we as people, as the followers of Jesus Christ, however wonderful presents are and Christmas trees, and for those of you who already have your trees up, shame on you. It's too early. No, but in light of a commercialized Christmas, of presents and lights and Christmas trees and horrible Hallmark movies, may this Christmas be one that will remember the true meaning and the hope that we have. You don't have to live in this world for very long to understand how dark it is. You don't have to turn on the news or get on social media very long in a day to hear horrible things that have happened in this world. This is a dark place many times. It was so good in the very beginning, but the sin of Adam and Eve brought disaster on the world and the people that would live in the world until Christ would make it right in him. There was a member that was of a church that we worshiped with that was killed in a head-on collision, a band director, last week. We heard this morning of a young lady, only 29 years old, who was suffering from extreme sickness and illness and cancer that has riddled her body. You look at the world and you say, how do we continue? How do we go on? How do we have hope? Well, this season is how we have hope. Because we remember a Christ that came to give hope in a dark world. And this is, darkness is no, it's not new. Because darkness existed in the time of Isaiah, of the scripture that I just read. Just like it exists now. And just like there was a light and dark world then, the prophecy would come true and the Christ would be born. So we hope to by this, to bring hope, not because of what Doug and I say or because Doug and I speak, but we hope to bring hope because we bring light on the Savior who was born and how very special this moment was. And we'll talk more about it in the future, but there's light in a dark world. Amen? If we don't need to hear anything, we need to know that Christ brought light into a dark world. Let's continue to worship.
Sin and error by morning, everybody. Got a few thoughts for our communion. I don't know how many of you remember what it's like to be a four-year-old. I don't remember what it's like to be a four-year-old, but I get to witness it every day. And something really interesting happens around the ages of three or four, and I think this is pretty universal across all human beings, is that we develop a fear of the dark. And it's this really intense fear. If you've been around a three-year-old or a four-year-old much, you know what I'm talking about. There's just kind of something unnatural about being in the dark, especially if you're alone in the dark, right? It doesn't feel right. It feels better when we're in the bright lights and we can see what's going on. Although sometimes we can kind of fool ourselves, right? So sometimes it's fun to be in the dark. Sometimes we can turn off the lights and get a flashlight. Sometimes we like to watch scary movies in the dark. And for a little bit, it seems like it's okay. But ultimately, I think even as adults, it just doesn't feel right. And for a four-year-old, there's really not a whole lot that's scarier than walking down the dark hallway to get to the bathroom and the lights aren't on. I mean, to the point that maybe we'll just hold it for the next 3 hours. I'm not going down that hallway, right? However, there's not much more comforting in the world than a dad who will walk ahead of you and flip that light switch on, and then the little four-year-old just gets to walk right behind. And, I don't think it's a coincidence that the analogy of light and dark is used so much in the Bible. You know, Michael kind of alluded to it. Jesus is referred to a lot as the light. And I think that whenever we live apart from God and apart from Jesus, it's kind of like we're walking around in the dark. Yeah, we might be able to grab a flashlight, we might be able to see some stuff, but we don't really get to experience all the fullness of everything that God has for us to enjoy. I'd like to read real quick from a passage in 1 John. So it's 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7. It says, "This is the message that we have heard from Jesus and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." We see from this verse a couple of things that happen whenever we walk in the light. One of those things is that Jesus' blood covers our sins, that he makes us right with God when we can't do it by ourselves. He flips on the light switch for us because, darn it, we're just not tall enough, we can't reach it on our own. And the second thing is that we get fellowship with one another. So we get fellowship with God, and we have fellowship together. And so this morning as we take communion, this is a time for us to remember those things, to remember that we have each other, and most importantly, we have Jesus. So let's pray before we take the bread. And if you need, anyone needs communion, just raise your hand. One of the guys will get it for you. Dear God, we thank you that although we live in a world of darkness, that you sent your son to be for us a light, that you sent Jesus to the world to live a perfect life where we couldn't, and that you sent him to the cross to die a death that we couldn't so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. As we take this bread, we commune together and we remind one another of these truths. In his name, amen. We'll pray again as we take the cup. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. We thank you that because of it, we now get to enjoy a full life and a full eternity with you. God, we pray that you would remind us of that together as a congregation, and that you would help us to always walk in your light and to always try to live our lives as Jesus has lived, and ultimately that we would just remember the sacrifice that he made for us, which is represented with this blood. In Jesus' name. And finally, we'll take our offering. In just a minute, the gentleman will come around. This is a time that we give back to the Lord a peace that he's given to us. Let's pray. God, once again, we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us individually and as a church and as a family and as a nation. God, we just ask that the funds that we give would go to your goodwill and to further your kingdom, that those who administer them would make wise choices, and that you would help each one of us to give with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we come together to worship and fellowship and gather around the Lord's table, is there any doubt that the Holy Spirit isn't here with us and God is in our presence? For those of you sitting up front, you just saw that I was passed a note during communion. It's a special note from a young lady in our church. It was a love note. It said, "I love you and I appreciate you." And I just can't thank you enough for that. It was very special. Just sends chills down my spine. Let's sing "O Worship the King."
Thank you.
They will not be able to get Kent down all day. You'll be singing Can't Touch This all day long, right? Praise God for those little moments. If you are affected by darkness in the world, and I suspect you are if you're breathing, then the message today from God's Word is for you. If you struggle with happenings and events in your family's life, then God's Word is for you today. If you're watching others struggle and trying to cope with how do you share life with them, then the message of God's Word is for you today. If you have never stepped into the light of the kingdom of God, the light that the Son brings, then God's Word is for you today. Let's pray together. Father, I am weak. We are weak. To be able to even help others understand darkness. God, I pray in this moment right now, with everything that I have, with everything in my being, that you will show up in the lives of those who are experiencing darkness and struggles and how to get through life, whether it's through loss and death or personal inside mental struggles that we face, Father. I pray for the soul that doesn't know you, that you will light in their heart today with your word, a message that they cannot but accept. God, this is not just a Sunday. This is your day. And I pray that you will move and breathe within this body, whether we're here or listening somewhere else, that you will move and breathe within us and change us today into something more you would have us to be, to lift up with your light those in darkness. I believe you've heard this prayer, and I believe in full faith, without doubt, that you will answer. And the church said, amen. It's easy to preach these things, right? It's easy for Doug or I to stand up and to share the hope of Christmas, to share the hope of the one that was born. It's easy to share a message, some easier than others, but to be honest with you, don't let any preacher ever tell you it's hard to share, because it's really hard to live in darkness. It's one thing to share about darkness and light. It's another thing to live in darkness in light, and maybe go between the two from time to time. But truly, our hearts in this is that this is not just a series with a pretty graphic up there on the screen, but that this is a life-changing, through the Word of God series that comes from Him into your soul, and that we listen to the Word of God, and that it changes us today, different from where we were yesterday, tomorrow than what we were today. And that's kind of Doug and I's prayer through this series. It's to offer hope, not in us, not in the elders, not in the person sitting next to you, but hope in Christ, the real reason that we live and breathe today. What about light in the sun, so important? We know that it gives life. We know that the sun, that light gives life. And whether it's our planet, I mean, isn't it so cool that God put us right where He put us? Because if we were in Mars, and some of you get cold about this time. My wife and I were walking to Rio Doce yesterday. I said, this is wonderful. She said, no, it's cold. And this is, some of y'all get cold in this time of season, but if we lived on Mars, we would freeze to death. And if we lived on is it Venus? I should get my planet straight. Then we would burn up and we wouldn't be able to handle it. But God put us right where He needed to give us life. And without the sun shining on us right where we were, we would not survive. So light gives life. And we know that, in our house, we don't have any real direct sunlight. Over our kitchen window is a good spot to put plants, but anywhere else is not a good spot because it doesn't give life. And light gives life, and the sun gives life. I mean, our very being is wound up in this. Acts chapter 24 and verse 28. Now, this is Paul. He's having a discussion, and these people in Athens, and they're with the people in Athens, and they worship all kinds of gods. And so Paul points out this statue to an unknown god. And so he begins to work with the people where they're at, which is, that's a whole other story, but it's a good lesson for us to learn. It says that God, starting in verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served. The word here is healed. In other words, you don't have to put him back together. You know, like Humpty Dumpty, when he falls, you got to put him back together again. When your God falls, you got to glue him back together. He is not healed by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life, breath, and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Stop for a moment. Don't miss that. He is not far from any one of us. Sometimes in darkness, we feel like nobody's here. And what Paul wants the people in Athens to know, that really he's not far from us. For in him, we move and have our being. As some of their own poets have said, we are his offspring. We live and move and we have life through him, and in him, life and light lives in us. We don't live without him. Guess what? Here's a memo this morning. You don't function without God. Amen? You don't live without that sun coming up and going down and coming up again. Amen? We live and have life because of God. The garden, even. God created this mass and formed the heavens and the earth. And then what did he say? I mean, it wasn't the last thing. Well, it was one of the first things. What did he say? Let there be what? Light, because light is important in darkness. You can't have life without light. And then there was a struggle between darkness and light. And when he told them they could have anything except that tree in the middle of the garden, and the serpent comes along and he says, I know, you'll be just like God if you eat that. You will not surely die, because that's what Eve told her. I mean, who told Eve that she would surely die? It had to come from God, and all the things that they would struggle with, and they ate from it. And death began, and darkness began in a world that was full of light. Not only did their bodies begin to decay and their relationships changed, but the earth and the world that we live in began to change, began to crumble, and begin to fall apart in darkness. You see, light gives life. Darkness does not breed life. Light shows truth. I don't know about y'all, but Brandon's not in here. I feel the same way sometimes about darkness, to be honest with you. We had a bed one time that had a footboard that would just nail you just right in the middle of the night. Darkness is not good. Most crimes happen at dark, all right? Most people will break into a house or will do things at darkness because darkness does not like truth, and light shows truth. I remember walking, if I've shared this, just pretend I haven't, but I remember a long time early in our marriage, I was walking down the hall, much like Brandon, I didn't have anybody hold my hand to walk down the hall, and I remember my forehead hitting something, and I realized what it was shortly after I came to my senses. It was a door that my wife, because we didn't have children at the time, so my wife left it open, and I nailed that door, and I mean, it rattled me like nobody's business. I didn't see it till I hit it. You see, light shows truth. Light shows the things in life. I remember when I was probably in first grade, we lived in Kentucky, and I was laying on my little twin-size bed, and there was a cow at the end of my bed. I kid you not, a calf not a big cow, but a calf. And he was at the end of my bed, and I laid there, and I was froze. I would not move because I knew if I did, this cow would attack me. And I laid there, and I laid there, and I laid there until he was gone. Darkness is a funny thing, is it not? It really wasn't a cow there. The other night, I had a sack of clothes, maybe this tall. I don't know how tall. I hadn't put away yet on the end of our dresser. Our dresser's at the end of the bed. And I remember waking up, and I kind of jerked a little bit because I thought there was a person there, maybe a little person who had come into our room and was just staring at us. And this was just the other night. Darkness does weird things. But it was that stack of clothes. And maybe being asleep, half asleep, half awake, helped that. But darkness shows truth, and our light is based on our Savior that was born into this world. The light that comes into the world is light that shows truth. And when we walk in the darkness, Brandon and I did not get together on this, but I'm going to read that passage again out of 1 John. We walk in darkness, light shows the truth. This is the message that John would say. We've heard from him. This is the Christ. And declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie. You see, light and darkness can't live together. We lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. You see, light shows truth. And if you have something wrong in your life and Jesus comes into your life, you're like, oh, I see now. I see that door that was in the middle of the path, and I don't hit that. Because there is no darkness in God at all. I think we need to understand this. That life in Jesus is not about just a beautiful church worship service. It's not about having a good song leader like Ken or Wayne or somebody else leading us in worship. It's not just simply about, well, that message hit home, preacher. That was really good today. You really stepped on my toes. You really helped me. It's not about that. Life in Christ is about him showing us what's right and wrong. I mean, that's the beauty of Jesus, because he doesn't lie. And there is no darkness in him. And if I will let him in my life, he'll show me. And sometimes it's scary, is it not? Sometimes we don't want him to know, or we don't want the world to know, or I don't want myself to know exactly what's wrong with me. But light shows truth. What makes this light so special about Jesus? That's part of it. The first thing is that he was born. I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say it. His birth was important, family, okay? Without his birth, we're lost. Can I say that? Without the birth of Jesus Christ into this world, born to the Virgin Mary, we're lost. Without Christmas, however you want to say it, without the light of Jesus Christ being born in this world, we're lost. And don't say, but. We're not going to but this morning, because I know his resurrection, and we have life in his resurrection. And because he was raised, we're raised, and we have hope because he was raised again. But if we were never born in the first place, we're still lost. That was the beauty of Christ being born in the world. I mean, that's why Simeon and Anna went and did what they did. I can now die because I've seen my Savior. It was so important, and they were so waiting, and in between I can kind of do that. So you have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and in between that is the 400 years, we call them the silent years, and where God didn't speak, and where things happened in the world that were not right and not good, and people didn't treat God's people like they were supposed to be treated or like they should have been treated. They didn't have bumper stickers that said, kindness is free back then. They so longed for the Savior. They so wanted the Savior to be born because they had heard this child was going to come, and he was going to be called all these wonderful things, and that he would be our hope. And yet they still struggled, and they still wondered, where are you coming, God, and when are you coming? Just like us today. Have you ever wondered, God, when are you coming? When are you going to stop what's happening in this world? When are you gonna? They were longing for that. And so when he came and he was born, it relieved the pressure. You could just hear the words ringing through the streets. He's here. He's come. Our Savior is born. How important that was. It was vital to our lives, eternal. What makes this light of Jesus so special is that he was born. I don't profess to know how God works and why God had to be born human and not, and to be able to save us. Couldn't he have just saved us just because? I don't know. But I think we needed to have a Savior. I think we need to know that we have a Savior. And if you're not in him today, you need to know that this light was born. That there was a physical birth, that God became flesh. Paul would say to the church in Philippi, because they were struggling in their relationships, to make their relationships like Jesus Christ. To have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Verse 6 in Philippians chapter 2 will say, who being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He was God. And he didn't use that to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What's so special about the light of Jesus? He was born. He was God and he became us. And that has to mean something to us. Out of the paraphrase in Galatians chapter 4, it says, but when the time arrived that was set by God, in other words, there was a certain time that God sent his son, by God the Father, God sent his son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those who have been kidnapped by the law. There's your darkness. Thus we have been set free to experience our rightful inheritance. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his children, because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. That's in your version, Abba, Father. It's Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, not in darkness, but a child? And if you are a child, you also are an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Because God sent his son, who was equal with God, you have life. So you can breathe this morning, you can worship God this morning, and you can sing the songs that Kent led us, and you can take the Lord's Supper, and you can leave here knowing that you have an inheritance with God because he was born. And that's the importance of Christmas. And that, don't lose it in the presents and the Christmas lights and the Christmas trees, which I love all of them as long as they're put up on time and all that wonderful stuff. And I'm looking forward. I'm asking Santa Claus for a smoker. I'm sure he will bring it. I like all that stuff, but don't lose the importance of what Christmas really means when it comes to our life. That was light brought into the world. What makes it so important, this light, according to Isaiah and the Spirit of God, is mighty God and everlasting Father. There's something about the light. It's different. Not served, not healed by human hands, Paul would say, that we read. You can't just like this light. Timothy Keller, who we get a lot of our titles for the series, wrote in his book, Hidden Christmas. In the Bible, the people who actually saw and heard Jesus never reacted indifferently or even mildly. Once they realized what he was claiming about himself, either they were scared of him or furious with him, or they knelt down before him and worshiped him. But nobody simply liked him. You can't just like him this morning, family. You can't just say he was a good guy this morning. There's a friend of mine who a lot of us know that I just I so want her to believe in him, and she's not sure that he's the Messiah. He's not just a good guy. He is God. He is the everlasting. He is everything to all of us. You can't come and worship him this morning just like him. You can't leave worship saying, "Ah, he's a good guy. He's all right. I like him." He's God. That's what makes this light special. You can't just ignore him. You either reject him, you either hate him, despise him, or you worship him on your knees today. That's what makes this light so special. Isaiah would say that he's a wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. Why is that important? Why is it important? Sometimes when I visit with people, after I listen, I can say, I've been there. Not always. But how good is it to know when somebody has been there? We often, when it comes to children and type 1 diabetes, part of my ministry in that is to tell people I've been there, to hang on, you'll be there. You'll make it. You'll get through it. We'll help you do it. What makes this light so important is that he understands. Hebrews will say this, therefore, since we have a great high priest, that's the Christ who was born, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. All right, because you have a great high priest, and if you've given your life to Christ, he's yours, all right? If you surrender to him, this great high priest is yours. So if you have him, if he is part of your life and you're part of his life, we can hold firm to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of darkness. Time of need. What the passage says. Because we have, why is he so important? He understands. And he's been there. And I know it's hard to say way back a long time ago, a Savior understands me today. But he does. He knows what it's like to have his family reject him. I've been there. I am there. Okay? He remembers that and he can sympathize with me. He knows what it's like to lose somebody. He knows what it's like to be around people that are not on his side. He knows what it's like to have somebody turn him over to somebody for the wrong reasons, betray him. Jesus knows what it's like to have somebody who denied him. Jesus knows what it's like to feel pain. Jesus knows what it's like to be hung on a cross and be ridiculed and be ripped to shreds. If you don't think you have a Savior that can recognize your pain, you haven't been paying attention to him, because he does, and he's been there, and he's died, and he's come back, and he's gone to heaven. So we have life in him. In this light, in this dark world, we have life. And so let us stand firm in the light he has come, and the light that he has come into this world. So what are you going through today? What's your struggles? Maybe they're a physical struggle. Maybe they're an internal struggle. Maybe you have those days that just are not your days. And some of those days that are not your days are really, really, really not your days. We have a light who has been where we are, and understands loss, and understands heartache. What are you going through today? You have a Savior, a light, that's come into your world. Will you accept him? Will you take him into your life? Maybe you've been pushing him away. Maybe you've been sulking. You know, sometimes when you, if you're like me, sometimes you throw this pity party. You know, nobody loves me. You know, nobody cares about me. Lindsay and Doug, they don't care. And I'll just go in the office. You know, I mean, you get this way. They don't ever not care. care, do you? You always care, sometimes. Okay, most of the time. And you kind of push back. What I'm saying this morning is allow God to enter your heart. If you're His, let God in. Let that light shine in darkness, because you will not be able, darkness will not be able to live where light is. You can't. And He's willing to be there. If you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, you've never walked in Him, you've never taken on this light in Him, the water is ready. As many as we need this morning. If you need to come to Jesus this morning for the first time to let the light in, I want to invite you to do that. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to meet you at the back. And if you need Jesus in any way, you just need a prayer over your life to kind of help start moving that light in your life. That's what prayer is for. If you need to give Him your life in baptism today for the first time, then meet me in the back. Let's stand and worship.
Shine on. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm going to be making my prayer in English and in Spanish. Gracias a todos por venir aquí. Voy a hacer mi oración en inglés y en español. Let us pray. Oremos. Heavenly Father, praise be your name in heavens and earth. We thank you for allowing us to come as a church and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for your Son who died for us on the cross for our sins. Father, we thank you for your great love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for every day's blessings. Bendito Padre, que estás en los cielos y en la tierra, venimos para alabar tu santo nombre. Te agradecemos por traernos aquí para alabarte en espíritu y en verdad. Padre, te agradecemos por tu Hijo que murió en la cruz por nuestros pecados. Padre, te agradecemos por nuestro amor, por tu amor y tu gracia y tu misericordia. Gracias por todas las bendiciones de cada día. Lord, we ask you to be with us, to be with those who are in sickness and in sorrow, that you may comfort them in these hard times. Lord, we also ask you to be with those who are in traveling to keep them safe on the road until they reach their destinations. Lord, we ask you to bless those for our nations and our leaders and those who defend and protect our country. Señor, te pedimos que estés con los que están enfermos y tristes, Padre. Que los confortes en estos momentos difíciles. Señor, te pedimos también por los que están viajando, que los cuides en el camino y que lleguen hasta su destino. Señor, te pedimos que bendigas a nuestra nación, a nuestros líderes y a los que defienden y protegen nuestro país. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we start this new week to keep us safe and live a life according to your will, so others may see the light in us, your love, and they can seek you and obey your commandments because you are the only way to find eternal life. Lord, we ask you to forgive us our sins, to give us wisdom, and to keep trusting you in everything we do. Señor, te pedimos que estés con nosotros en esta semana que empezamos, que nos mantengas seguro y que podamos vivir una vida conforme a tu voluntad, para que otros puedan ver la luz en nosotros, tu amor, y puedan venir hacia ti y obedecer tus mandamientos, porque tú eres el único camino para encontrar vida eterna. Te pedimos que perdones nuestros pecados, que nos dé sabiduría y que sigamos confiando en todo lo que hacemos en ti. We ask you to bless us, bless our families, bless our visitors, bless our homes, and our workplace. Thank you for everything you do for us. All these things we pray, in Jesus' name we pray. Te pedimos que nos bendigas, bendigas nuestras familias, bendigas nuestros visitantes, nuestros hogares, nuestro trabajo. Te agradecemos por todo lo que haces por nosotros. Por todas estas cosas te lo pedimos en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.